Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me. How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
My friends at the old country church.
Well, good morning, everyone, and greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us go to the Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, as we come in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Come before you, Father, this morning. And as we open your word, we're asking for the presence of the Holy Spirit to be with us. So, Father, that when we open our mouth, He will speak. So the words that come forth this morning will not be mine, but His. And according to your will and your way. And Father, we all are standing in need in this day and time. We know that we need the Lord Jesus Christ in our life. We ask you, Father, to be with each and every one this morning and to open their hearts and their minds to be receptive to your word so that they may take it this morning, Heavenly Father, burn it into their hearts so that they can bring it forth in their life and bring it forward as living word, Father, to help someone else along the way, to help someone else to move from darkness to light, and that light being Jesus. Now be with us this morning, Father, throughout the remainder of this service, and we ask this in that sweet, precious name of Jesus. Amen. All right. We're going to be in the third chapter of Romans this morning. And what I've been thinking about, the Lord's kind of been leading me down the pathway. First, just kind of stick with Romans here and go through this book. There's an awful lot in the book of Romans that we need, really. And a lot of things that we need to know and to understand that will help us as we travel through this life so that we can get ready and prepare for life to come. And it's something I'm still praying about, so I'm not sure of yet, but it kind of looks like it's leaning that way. All right, beginning here with verse 1. What advantage then has the Jew, or what profit is there of circumcision? much every way chiefly because that unto them were committed the articles of God. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Yea, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. But if our unrighteousness commend the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unrighteous who taketh vengeance? I speak as a man. God forbid. For then, how shall God judge the world? For if the truth of God has more of abounded through my life unto his glory, why yet am I also judged as a sinner? And not rather, as we be slanderously reported, and as some affirm that we say, let us do evil that good may come, whose damnation is just. What then, are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved both Jew and Gentile that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be saved or be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believe in Jesus. Wherein is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and uncircumcision through faith, do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. And may the Lord add his blessing unto the reading of this his word. And now, as we back up here to the very beginning of Romans chapter 3, we'll start and see if we can't figure out the depth of this word this morning. And we start out here in verse 1 by a question. What advantage then has the law, or what profit is there of circumcision? Well, we know the circumcision actually made Israel a distinctive nation. And why did it make them a distinctive nation? Because that wasn't given until God gave Moses the law. Up until then, they really didn't know what was sin and what wasn't. You see, there was a time that man was plumb ignorant of what was displeasing to God. And God wasn't happy about that. And the Jews were his chosen people. So he come along and he give Moses the law in order so they could live more righteous, more his way. Yet the law didn't do for them what we've got today that's been given to you and I. But in that law was this commandment of circumcision, that all male children had to be circumcised. Well, a lot of people still circumcise today, but it's not done for a Christian belief. It's done for cleanliness. But anyway, it was something that was unique to the Jewish men. Now as we go on down here in 2, he says, much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the articles of God. Now this articles of God he's talking about here is actually the words of the Old Testament, which Paul and the others like him, and of that day and time, those that studied in that day, studied mainly the Old Testament, because that's all they had. The New Testament had not been given yet, because even though they didn't know it, they was going to be one part of once used to give you and I the New Testament and a way to live. And even, you know, even Jesus himself regarded the Old Testament as to be divinely inspired. Now, we can go back and study and read the Old Testament and should, because it lets us see how men in that day and time could do some great things, and yet they didn't have what you and I've got today. And for the most part, and for the most part, we do very little. And we've got every tool we need has been given to us to do anything that God would ask of us to do. And they didn't have. They didn't have the Holy Spirit living in them. And God would talk to them. But we have that Holy Spirit living in us today if we are a child of God. But as we're seeing today all around us, the falling away that has taken place in our nation and among our people, like never before in this nation. And then we wonder, Lord, why is it that we've got all this mess going on? Our leadership going downhill and going the wrong way, doing everything they can do, actually against the people of this nation. And when we stop and think about these things, it really make you wonder. And if you're not careful and you watch too much of this world out here and things that are taking place, it can pull you away from God. That's why we need to stay in the church, stay in the Word of God. But it's also why we need for the walls of denominationalism to be torn down and the churches come together in unity in one church, His church. And not worry about causing division like what we're doing. And that's what we've done. We sat back and let them just keep creating and recreating walls and division among our people. And it should not have ever been done. There was a time that wasn't so. I can remember that in my lifetime. Well, you all can't. Because you're not old enough to go back there. That's all. And I can remember when, you know, here in this county that we're in right now, there was only three different churches. And two of them, really, you couldn't say we're all that different. Here in this county, we had a Baptist church, a Methodist church, and a Catholic church. And where I live, we didn't have a Baptist church around, and yet I was raised as Baptist. But we'd go to the Methodist church. And it really didn't matter, because they all taught the same thing. They taught this book. They taught the Word of God. And they taught it like it was written in that day and time. We've gotten away from that a whole lot now in a lot of places. They want to teach what feels good, whether it's right or wrong. And a whole lot of today is wrong. We're accepting things into the church that they should never have let in the front door. But they have. We've got to keep everything in prayer today. We need to be fasting and praying. Because it takes fasting to add power to your prayer a lot of times. And there's a lot of answers that won't come any other way except through fasting and prayer. And you'll find that written in the book of Matthew. Jesus told his disciples, because there were some things they couldn't do and they couldn't understand why they couldn't. And they asked him, and he told them. He said, this only comes by fasting and prayer. And we need more of it today. And we need to spend more time in God's Word than we're spending. We need to spend more time in prayer than what we're spending. How much time a day do you actually spend in prayer talking to God? And how much time do you wait to hear His voice to answer you? You know, a lot of them will say, you know, God never talks to me. Why? Ask yourself why. And then really look at yourself and see. After you talk to Him, are you giving Him time to talk to you? Or are you just jumping up and running off, saying, well, He'll catch me somewhere. Now, he may run you down, but it's not likely. You know, when we want to have conversation with people, that's a two-way thing. And you both have to have time to speak. And when we are communing with God, we have to give him time also. Stay there a while and wait. Wait on him. And he'll talk to you. All right, now. Here in verse 3 he says, "For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect?" No. It makes them without effect, but it don't make the faith of God ineffective. But when you and I, if we quit walking in faith, then we'll find that it is hard for us to receive anything from God at all. And it will cause you and lead you into unbelief if you're not very, very careful. Well, we need to think about our days and the priority of our day. How am I spending my day today? Well, now I have to work. Okay. But is that really keeping you from spending time with God? No. Or if it does, you better find you something else to do. Well, yeah, but, you know, jobs are hard to find. That. No, they're not. You may end up having to take one you don't like. I've had to in my lifetime. In fact, I've worked at several I didn't care too much for. But it was there and it was available. God seen that it was. And I had to do it. I had a family. But we need to start our day with prayer. That should be the first thing in our life when our eyes pop open in the morning. That should be the first thing we do. Just go to him in prayer. Thank him for watching over us, taking care of us through the night. And ask him for guidance. And ask him what he wants of us for that day. And spend enough time there to give him a chance to answer you. And you'll find out, as you learn about those things, and the more time you spend with him, the more you're going to hear from him. And then we need to at least somewhere around noon back in prayer with him. Thank him for that morning. Thank him for the things he's done with you through the morning hours and up to that point. Well, yeah, but I'm at work. At work, you get lunchtime. Well, yeah, I've got it, but I got to eat lunch, do you? What's better, to eat lunch or to skip lunch and spend time with God? You're not going to starve over missing one meal. But you can go to hell over not spending time with God. And then comes night. And you should spend time with him in the evening before time for you to go to bed. Fix you an hour or so there to where you can go to him and take his word with you. Now, you may not be able to carry your Bible to work with you, but you need this book with you when you go to him in prayer. and ask him for guidance for it. Pray by using his promises. That's the way we receive things, because God fulfills his promises. But he does it through faith. If you haven't got enough faith to use his word and to pray in his promises and about his promises, you're not going to receive much from him. All right. Now, we know that unbelief don't make the faith of God of none effect. That faith that belongs to God is still effective when used. But those that are in unbelief, you see, they're not going to walk in faith. Although they've got faith, God gave some faith to every man. When he created you, there was faith put in you. As that baby, there was a measure of faith put in you. Now, we're to strengthen it and make it grow, and we do that through his word. And his word tells you that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But so much of this we lay aside, and we just don't do it. He goes on to 4 here now. And he answers that question or that statement there in 3 about that unbelief and faith. And he says, God forbid, yea, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightst be justified in thy sayings and mightest overcome when thou art judged. There's a whole lot there in that verse right there. God's telling you, said, God forbid those things that we take as being null or being undone. God said no. I can't make his faith gone only for myself. That don't stop it being strong for you, or you, or anyone else. Just made it weak in me. And yet it's not gone even in me. It's just weak, and I'm not using it. And therefore, I'm asking for trouble. Verse 5. But if our unrighteousness commend the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unrighteous who taketh vengeance? I speak as a man. Well, we know that's Paul speaking there. And we know that our unrighteousness does nothing to make righteous. Now, righteousness will get rid of the unrighteous and take that out of our lives. And 6, once again, he says, God forbid. For then how shall God judge the world? And he's going to judge it according to his promises and according to his word. and how we have lived it when we stand before him. Did we keep his word? And you know, we have a lot of people in the world today that's not keeping the word of God. Because we've got all kinds of religions out here that are, has no part of God. And even God's people are still standing divided today. 2,000 years, over, a little over 2,000 years, they've been divided. Because we know that we do have a lot of them that have accepted Jesus. But for the most part, and as a nation, they've not. They are still trying to live by the law and under the law. They never could keep it. It makes you kind of wonder why they think they could keep it now. But they do. And you know, come judgment day, that's the way they'll be judged. They'll be judged according to that law. And they're going to find out. Law's going to be way short. Just as you and I will stand judgment under grace. Under his love and under his mercy and under grace. Because we're not under the law. We are under grace. And we're going to be judged by the one that we are supposed to walk, be walking in. The Lord Jesus Christ. We are supposed to have brought him in to live within us and us to live in him and the Holy Spirit living in us and us walking in the Spirit. And when we step out of this life into the next, we're going to stand before him in judgment. Now, there'll also be another great day of judgment, the great white throne judgment. But that's when all those that have not been found written in the book of life, and those that have not made it, along with Satan and his demonic army, in hell itself will be cast into a lake of fire. To burn forever. Think about that. Think about the pain. That you will endure forever. Because we would not walk according to the will of Almighty God. And his word. And today we are without any excuse, especially in this nation. It's been preached all over this nation at one time or another. And man kept leading away from it, leading away, going contrary to the Word of God, even in our churches. And preaching things they should not be preaching. And they're still accepting things in today. They should never have been allowed to come in that door. Abortion. The killing of babies being accepted. No. Homosexuality being accepted. No. Adultery being accepted. No. Fornication being accepted. No. And actually, those things that I've just mentioned, they are all an abomination unto God, and yet mankind is proud of them. They get out here and form groups and form marches for every one of them to approve abortion, group after group, gathering, holding their show, marching to get support for it. Here, our youngsters, our young men and our young ladies, they start dating. The next thing you know, they're living together. They're not married, but they're living together. And they want the whole world to know it. They tell everybody that they've moved in together. That's fornication. And it's an abomination unto God. And adultery. We've got adultery even in the pulpit. Not just in the church, but in the podium itself. Men standing with two and three and four different living wives and then trying to tell you how to live. But it's time that the church wakes up. It's time for mankind to wake up and start moving closer to God, because him coming for his church is not as far off as what mankind wants to believe today. It could happen actually at any moment. There's really nothing holding it, only the Lord himself. The things that he warns us to watch for, we're seeing it all happen. And he warned us in Revelations. He said, when you see these things begin, when they first just start, he said, look up, your redemption draweth nigh. Most of this has been going on a long time. But we've paid no attention to it, have we? Or for the most part. Now, it says, for if the truth of God has more abounded through my life unto his glory, why yet am I also judged as a sinner? And you see, that's something that's going to happen right there. We'll be standing before him in judgment. And these men that are standing behind the podiums teaching these lies instead of teaching the truth of God's word, you're going to find out why he's still a sinner. Because you see, if I teach you a lie about this word, it don't make that lie true. And it don't give God any glory at all. And that's exactly what that verse is telling us. For if the truth of God has more abounded through my lie unto his glory, if it done all that, if my life would have done all that, then I would not have been yet judged as a sinner. But you see, I am still judged. If I tell a lie, I'm still judged as a sinner. These are things we don't think about today, or for the most part. Now, verse 8. And not rather as we be slanderously reported, and as some affirm, that we say, let us do evil that good may come, whose damnation is just. You see, only God can take evil and make good out of it. He can turn it around. You and I can't. Evil to you and I is evil. We have to walk away and leave it alone. Put it away from us. Put it behind us. We don't go playing with it. Now, verse 9. What then, are we better than they? No, in no wise, for we have before proved both Jew and Gentile that they are all under sin. Oh boy. Now, we're going to cover some things here. In fact, we're getting ready to cover about 10 verses right here. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongue they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. And you see, when you walk by law, those 10 things we just read, really, is what you're walking in. That's why God wasn't really satisfied with the way they was living under the law, because they wasn't keeping none of that. And yet, those are things that shouldn't belong to the children of God. And you and I can't live in them today. No way. And they're going to find out, as they stand judgment, those that are still living by the law, and they're judged by these, they're going to find out, you know, I should never have done those things. When the law said don't do it, you don't do it. But you know, it didn't matter how much God helped them. They was never satisfied. And the same thing is happening today. God has gave you and I the word. We have a roadmap on how to get to heaven and make heaven our home. But we will not stay in it, we will not study it, and we will not live it. Or most won't, put it that way. And I'm learning more and more every day. And I pray to God I keep learning more, because I don't want to miss out on nothing that God's got for me. And I know that those that listen to me, you don't really want to miss out either. But are you really willing to give the time that you should be giving to the study of His Word, to the church, and most of all, to Him? Spending time. You can't have a relationship with anyone without spending time with them. Us men, when we first started dating our wives, we couldn't spend enough time with them, could we? We hated every minute we was away. And it ought to be double that when it comes to the Lord. But it hasn't been working that way. We usually only go to Him when we stand in need, or a great need. Usually it's a great need. And then all we can do is beg Him for that need. We don't thank Him for what He has done, what He is doing for us. And we don't thank Him for the things He will be doing for us. We need to be giving Him thanks for things even of the future, thanking Him for the things He's going to be doing with and for me tomorrow. Because if He leaves me here, He's given me something. If only breath. And I need to thank Him for it. But we don't. We cut Him out of our lives. And that's not going to get it. You know, man didn't know right from wrong until God gave Moses the law. That's when sin really came into mankind. Now, sin was brought forth by Adam and Eve because they committed the wrong. And that passed upon all men. But God wasn't imputing sin, a lot of man's sins, to Him until the law, because man didn't know. There are a lot of things in the Old Testament, and that's another reason why that we need to study it, because it does help build faith, because there were a lot of things in the Old Testament that was all right for them to do, you and I can't do today. That's like under the Old Testament, they didn't live by adultery. Those men could have as many wives as they could support. That was all right. You and I can only have one. One living at a time. We got them out here that has four and five. In fact, I know a few. I know, too, that most all of us know. Most all of us know them. I ain't going to give you no names, but one of them been married 6 times. I had trouble with just 2. And then just 1 at a time. I lost my first wife after 35 years. The whole time I was married to her, I couldn't handle another one. She was all I could handle. The one I've got now, after my first one passed away, the one I got now, ain't no way I could took care of another one with her. My own. Who was Solomon had 3,000 plus a bunch of concubines. But the law changed a lot of things and brought sin to where it was taking excuses away from mankind because he was being told by the law what he could and could not do. And now today, all sin has been taken away from you and I. It's taken away by the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're not to walk any longer in it. And we're told in so many different places, in so many different ways, that when we're born again, we cannot sin. And we're told we have to be born again to make heaven our home. And you find that in the book of John, the Gospel of John. 3rd chapter, in fact. Him talking to Nicodemus, he said, no man can enter the kingdom of God without being born again. Then we're told all about being born again, how to get born again, and the whole bit. And then we're also told that when we are reborn, his seed, the Holy Spirit, remains in us, and we cannot sin because we're born of God. But yet we've got these so-called preachers standing telling people you can't live without sin in your life. If you want to make heaven your home, you better live that way. You better get rid of all that old sin. Oh, I don't know about that now. Well, go to God's Word. I told you where it's at. You find out that you got to be born again and enter the kingdom of God. You find that in the Gospel of John, 3rd chapter. You find out what being born again means and what it states about you not sinning in the 3rd chapter of 1 John. It's all there. It's God's Word, not mine. It's His. And we're told here in that 20th verse there that by the law, sin is... By the law is the knowledge of sin. That's how we knew what is sin and what is not sin. It's by the law. Now you and I don't live by law. We live by faith and by the Spirit of Almighty God. If we are born again and making heaven our home. We're not under that no more. Well, I think we're going to stop right there. for the day. We may pick up there again this evening and finish on out with this, maybe get into chapter 4, maybe. God willing, we'll see where he takes us to. But you know, it is time that mankind better wake up and our churches better wake up. And they better get back into the Word of God. They better get back into unity and back into God's church. Don't worry about what name is over the front door or out on the lawn. Worry about what is inside that's coming across from the podium. Is it God's Word? If it's not, you better stay away from it. And if it's watered down and it's teaching contrary to the Word of God, it's teaching you you can't live without sin, and it's teaching you that abortion's all right and adultery is all right, and it's accepting all these things, run. Run. As hard as you can run to get away. And put your mind, your heart, and your soul in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, let us go to the Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we close your word, we thank you for your word, Father. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, and we thank you for the Holy Spirit. Father, this land of ours, we're lifting it up now, Father. We're praying for it because it has walked so far away, and it's done so without any excuse. We're asking the Holy Spirit to work with us, to help us, Father, to remove those from leadership that's standing against the church, against the Lord Jesus Christ, and against your people. And help us to put into office, Father, those that will work for the church, will work for the Lord Jesus Christ, putting him back into all the places he's been taken out of, and putting our government back upon the foundation in which it was founded, and that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. For your saints now, Lord, wherever they are in the world, we ask the Holy Spirit to keep them safe, keep them in health, and see to their needs. And for Jerusalem and Israel, Father, we're told to pray for peace for them, and we do so. We do pray for peace for them, Father. But even more than that, Father, we pray for them to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, as their King of Kings and Lord of Lords, so that one day Israel will be known as a land for Jesus. Now, Father, our prayer list, as each name is called, we ask the Holy Spirit to touch each one, to fill whatever need they have, whether that need be spiritual, physical, or financial. Kenny Powers, Mark Pavlik, Amy's husband Tom, Amy and Tom's young son Jacob, for Terry Coates, for Dennis Breeden and his wife Tina, for our brothers in Christ here in Brandenburg, Father, these brothers that come together once a week, Father, they come from different walks of life. But when they come together on Saturday morning, Father, bring them together in one mind and one accord, and that being in Jesus Christ. For Pastor Small and the Glory Bound Church of Irvington, for Pastor Luke Bess, the Church of God of Brandenburg, and for Pastor Randy Johnson, for the Meade County General Baptist Church, and the pastors there, Pastor Don Hilton, Pastor Alan Thomas, Pastor Tony Galladay. And Father, for this young man that has been ordained into the ministry will, my prayer for him, Father, is that his teacher has been the Holy Spirit, and he's the minister you want him to be. For Pastor Eric and his wife, Jackie, Father, you know their needs. We lift them up, put them in your hands. For that little full gospel church of God there at Akron, not only a lighthouse, but make it a place of refuge to where the lost walking in darkness, Father, can go and walk from darkness to light, and that light being Jesus. Keep it filled, Father, with one that will fill that church with the Holy Spirit. For my young friends in Pakistan, Pastor Haroon Islam, Pastor Barak Mishai, Pastor Zephyrin Iron. Father, I pray for them. I pray that the Holy Spirit will keep them safe, keep them in health, and see to their needs. For the Johnson family, for the Lee family, for the Branson family, for my wife's family, my family, and for each family that will hear this message, I pray that the Holy Spirit will work within those families and work with those that are walking in darkness. Help to turn them from that darkness and turn them to light, that light being Jesus, so that none be lost and all can make heaven their home. For Jimmy Emery, Sharon Mombillo and her mother, for Sue, for Palance, for Casey Smith, for Kelly Smith, for Jim Taylor, for Karen. Father, these all stand in need of the healing power of the Lord Jesus Christ to continue to work in their lives, making them whole, Father, getting rid of all sickness and all disease. And we ask all of this, Father, in that sweet, precious name of Jesus. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And God bless. All right. Remember now, God willing, we can all be together again this evening at 6 p.m. So until then, walk with God. He'll walk with you. Have a good evening now.